This morning, I want us to talk about music. Next Sunday, we'll be talking about mothers. But I want to emphasize something that maybe needs to be thought of more often. We frequently, it is, oh, you're the ones who don't believe in music. Not true. Not true. As a matter of fact, most members of the church don't even know why we don't have an organ or a piano or a harp or whatever. I remember at Timbers when we were doing our services there, which I hope we'll get back to eventually, but we had a visitor who said, oh, this is a cappella. Wow. We're that unique. We are not non-musical, and we are not opposed to music. I think it's important to understand something before we get any further with the biblical concept here. And that is, do you realize that music is peculiar to the human soul? We are created in God's image. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean we look like God. When you look at me, you're not looking at God. God is not old and bald and fat and ugly. No, that's not God. God is a spirit. And God loves music and God loves art. If you don't believe that, take a look at the next sunset or the next sunrise. God has a great appreciation for beauty. And, you know, there's a push in American secular society today. We said, oh, well, all animals have music. Not true. You say, well, whales sing. No, they don't. Whales communicate. Their vocal patterns at a very low frequency travel for miles because they communicate from one whale to another. And the latest issue of National Geographic has a whole issue devoted to whales and how they do what they do. They even have a musical score of the sounds of whales. But that's just it. They're communications. You say, well, birds sing. Yeah, birds make noise. I live in an area with lots of birds. And by the way, as I look out my window, I see the first hummingbird of the year. Just came to one of my feeders. Those hummingbirds chirp. Did you know that? They make noise. I have a cardinal right over there that sings. What's he singing? He's singing, this is my territory, fellow cardinals, so stay out of here or I'll peck your eyes out. That's what he's saying. I flicker a woodpecker that pounds on my chimney. He makes the biggest racket. Why does he do that? Because he's saying, this is my territory, fellow woodpeckers. You stay out. See, what we do here is we anthropomorphize animals. What that means is we turn animals into humans. And if you don't believe that, just watch the next time you see somebody talking to their dog. One of the most famous of all these examples is a gorilla named Coco, who was claimed to be able to create art. His trainer was Penny Patterson, a scientist. And I've told this story before, so some of you may remember it. Ms. Patterson took a canvas in front of the gorilla and she marked it a few times with a black paintbrush to show the gorilla what to do. And then she put another canvas up and she handed the gorilla a yellow paintbrush and the gorilla did what she did. And she pointed to the sign and she signed banana because the gorilla knows the sign language of the deaf, a sign language of the deaf. 3 weeks later, she held up the canvas. The gorilla pointed to the canvas and signed banana. And she said, oh, well, that proves artistic art. The problem is when somebody walked into the gorilla's cage wearing a yellow hat, the gorilla would point to the hat and sign banana. When someone walked in wearing a little smile button, they would point to the smile button and sign banana. And when he was given a yellow kitten as a pet, guess what the gorilla signed? Banana. Responding to the color. Classic anthropomorphization, turning the gorilla into a human. Recently, they have released an album of songs by Coco. What did they do? They played a song. And if the gorilla did this, they put it on the album. If the gorilla did this, they didn't put it on the album. And it was interesting to me because as I looked at the songs the gorilla had selected, they were all low frequency sounds. Why? Because that's what gorillas do. They communicate in a low frequency range. But the gorilla wasn't creating music. He was responding to music. We anthropomorphize animals. We turn animals into humans. The very fact that you like music or don't like music is because you are created in the image of God. That is a unique characteristic of human beings. Music has always been an expression of our soul. It is not just sexual. It is not just a warning as animals use their sounds. And in the Old Testament, we see a interesting history of the development of music. How was music used? In Genesis 4 and verse 21, the Bible says Jubal was the father of all who handle the harp. It's a string instrument, and the flute. Your Bible may say harp and pipe, wind instrument and string instrument. That's the first mention. Listen to how these uses are made. In Genesis 31 and verse 27, when Jacob was leaving, his father-in-law said, "Why did you not tell me you were leaving so that I could send you away with joy? And with songs, with melody, and with music, tambourines, and harp." All right, how was the music being used? As entertainment. I love music as entertainment. As a matter of fact, when I watch television, about 90% of the time, it's a music show. I love music. Don't tell me that I'm non-musical, because that just isn't true. In Exodus 15, beginning with verse 20, we see another interesting use of music. So Miriam, the prophetess and sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand and all the women with her with tambourines and flutes. And Miriam taught them to sing the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously and has thrown the horse and his rider into the sea. So what is this? It's a celebration. A celebration of victory. You think about our national songs. Our national anthem, Battle Hymn of the Republic, America the Beautiful. What are these? They're celebrations. Celebrations of victory. That's another use of music in the Old Testament. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 28, Jehoshaphat entered Jerusalem with lutes, harps, and trumpets, playing, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. Celebration. King Solomon, writing in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 8, says, I gathered to myself silver and gold. I got myself men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments of all sorts. See, all of these cases are entertainment, and music has always served to entertain, to celebrate. In Lamentations 5 and verse 14 in the King James Version, it talks about young men at the gate singing. Many times, music is used to introduce people. And you can think of a zillion applications of that. And it can be used destructively. In Isaiah 23 and verse 16, it talks about prostitutes having a song. And unfortunately, many times popular music emphasizes immorality. And sexual behavior that is inconsistent with God's word. David had a choir and an orchestra in 1 Chronicles 15, beginning with verse 16 and through verse 29. There's a mention of the skill that is involved. In the bulletin on page 4, which you will get if you're on Zoom, which is there at the building, if you're not on Zoom, there's a discussion of all these different uses of music. But let me emphasize something. The instrument of music, entertainment, warning, celebration, were never a part of music in the temple. In the temple, each person was to engage in singing. That was a part of worship. What are the Psalms? The Psalms are singing. Poems intended to be sung. The 12th Psalm, the 20th Psalm, the 38th Psalm, the 136th Psalm, the 118th Psalm, verses 1 through 4, they were all songs. That's what the Psalms were. The Song of Solomon is the first of five scrolls read at Jewish feasts and Passover, and that is done by conservative Jews even today. We love music. We love instruments. But they cannot replace our personal participation of lifting our voices to God. They cannot replace our personal participation in lifting our voices to God. You say, well, I don't sing good. Listen, pick up my wife here. My wife, Cindy, is tone deaf, essentially. We can hear somebody sing off key and I'll go, ooh, and she said, well, sounded all right to me. But I love to hear her sing. You say, well, she's not always on pitch. That's right. She always gets the melody right. That's right. I love to hear her sing. Because she's expressing her love, her joy, whatever the song is about. And music was part of the life of Jesus. In Matthew 9 and verse 23, the Bible says that the ruler's house, whose little girl had died, instruments were being played. Frequently, music is played at funerals. I'm sure Tracy could tell us a great deal about that. My wife's funeral, Phyllis, we had music going all the time. We even played a song by George Jantz, one of my favorite Gaither singers. Hannah's psalm in 1 Samuel 2, beginning with verse 1 through 10. You can read what she said. It was a song, and it is still sung by conservative Jews today. Hallelujah! What does that mean? Praise ye Yahweh. Praise you Yahweh. Praise you God. And there are many quotations right out of the Psalms. I have a list of them. First, Luke 1, verse 46, also verse 48, also Luke 2, verse 29, Acts 4, verse 25, Acts 2, verse 25, Acts 13, verse 33. But that's Old Testament. In the New Testament, words for singing convey different things that we can do as Christians. There are some things we do in private that is separate from corporate worship, like prayer. I hope that the only time you pray is not during worship service. I hope every day prayer is a part of what you do. And your private prayer is your business. I talk to God differently when it's just me and God than I do when I lead in congregational prayer. And what you do in music is your private business as well. I enjoy the Gaither television programs. The music is positive. The music is spiritual. It encourages me. It strengthens me. I enjoy the Dove Awards and hearing the new songs that people have written. But that's private. That's me enjoying something that is part of my love for music. But what I do in corporate worship, and by that I mean in our worship service, has a corporate purpose, a congregational purpose. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, Paul says, "How is it, brethren, when you come together that everyone wants to contribute a psalm, a lesson, a spiritual truth, or an explanation? Let all things be done to the edifying of the church." See, our singing during worship service needs to be focused on edifying the church. That's what corporate worship in song is about. In verse 40 of that same passage, he says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." What I do privately may not be in order. I hope it's still decent, but it may not be in order. Ephesians 5 and verse 19, you probably know this passage. "Be filled with the Spirit." But now listen to this. "Speaking to one another." Speaking to one another. Speaking to one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Each of those statements comes from a different Greek word. Sing comes from ode, O-D-E, used in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, and multiple times in Revelation. It involves the idea of having a message. Psalms. We've already talked about that, a song of praise, and is used again in multiple passages, which are in your bulletin. Hymns comes from hymnio, a song of praise. There are times when we need to sing a song together that just praises God. And we do that. Our songbook is full of praises to God. Spiritual songs, pneumaticos, is a spiritual song. Colossians 3 and verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratitude in your hearts to the Lord. That's corporate worship. And it's a participation. In James 5 and verse 13, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any in good spirits? Let him sing praises, psalms. You know, the song we sang just before I started talking, Sing On 581. Did you think about the lyrics as you sang them? Sing on, joyful pilgrims. Or think the moment's law, my faith is heavenward rising with every tuneful song. Lo, on the mount of blessing, the glorious mount I stand, and looking over Jordan, I see the promised land. What an encouragement. As we pray for and as we encourage and as we hear our brother Jim Parasavage, as he talked to us a little while this morning, and I think he's perhaps still with us. What a beautiful message that has. Sing on, you joyful pilgrims, while here on earth we stay, let songs of home and Jesus beguile each fleeting day. Sing on the ground, old story of his redeeming love, the everlasting chorus that fills the realms above. Sing on, you joyful pilgrims, the time will not be long. Till in our Father's kingdom, we swell a nobler song. What a wonderful song. What a wonderful concept. So what can we do to serve God in song as Christians? Personally, anything you wish. I've heard preachers talk about, oh, well, if you listen to a music that mentions Jesus, you're in worship. No, you're not. No, you're not. You can listen to something that is spiritual and is positive and is godly and is uplifting and is moral. You don't have to listen to trash music. You can listen to good, solid Christian music in your personal walk. It can encourage, it can entertain, it can elevate, it can counsel, it can console. But in worship, it's a different story. In worship, singing is to edify. Remember 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. When you come together, everyone wants to contribute a psalm, a lesson, a spiritual truth, or an explanation. Let all things be done to edify the church. Singing is to tell a story or a message. Those two passages, Ephesians 5, 19, Colossians 3, 16, demonstrate that thoroughly. Singing is to praise God. And here's the major point. Singing demands we participate, not listen. Somebody said, oh, Carl sang a little flat this morning. How did you know that? If you were singing yourself, you wouldn't know what Carl did. Cindy sings. I've heard her sing around the house, but when it's in worship, I don't hear her. I'm singing myself. Singing demands we participate. And God wants every Christian to be involved in every part of church activity. We all give food. We all give coats. We all give service to the community. We all pick up the highway. We all operate the food bank. I was so proud of our congregation last Tuesday as we unloaded that truck and we had a huge turnout. People from the community commented on it. The people running Feed America commented on it. I hate to hear people talk, well, they're doing thus and so in reference to church. No, we are doing thus and so. We all study. We all learn. We all grow. We all teach. We all sing. We may not sing well. In the first century, they didn't do four-part harmony. In the first century, they chanted the Psalms. So everybody participated. And when you go back to that passage in 1 Corinthians 14:26, notice that they were contributing a psalm, a lesson, a spiritual truth, or an explanation. They all were participating. The reason we don't have instrumental music is that we participate. We don't listen. We don't be entertained. We're not spectators. Worship is not a spectator sport. What distinguishes us in a congregation is, unlike many of our religious friends and neighbors, we all participate. We do not come to be entertained. Now, some things are just between you and God. Prayer, private songs, your thoughts. There are some things I think that I certainly don't want you to know about. I'm embarrassed that God knows about them. My mind's not always where it ought to be, folks. We sing a song, Jesus loves who? Me. This I know. Oh, Jesus loves me? When Peter was talking on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 40, he said, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Some things are just between you and God. And you may have your own favorite song. One of my favorite songs, not in our songbook. Let me sing it for you. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. That's just the chorus of that song. One of my favorites. We don't sing it in corporate worship. That's my private song. But Jesus does love you. And if you look at song number 300, which Carl has selected for our closing song this morning, think about the lyrics as you sing it. And notice it is, I will sing. Carl, can you lead us in number 300, please?